Okay, let's start. Please, welcome. We've come together today to, in our first general meeting, an information sharing meeting, which is the first step in a residence assembly decision-making process called by the working committee. The decision we will want to arrive at as a community is whether Oroville should enlist on the application form to be a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And today we will start informing ourselves about what does that mean, what are the pros, what are the cons, which is ideally a process important if we want to make a decision that we know what we're talking about so we can form our opinion and then tick the cross on the form. That will be in between the 15th and the 29th of March will be the decision-making process itself. We're having one meeting today and one more eventually, probably beginning of the week after. We're looking at approximately 2 hours today. Luigi and Tuan will give some presentations, background knowledge, then we break for a tea, and then we can have a short question and answer session. I'm gonna be in the background and facilitate. Wiebke there is doing her graphic vision note-taking magic, so we can keep whatever is said, especially in the second half of the meeting today, your questions and the answers, the concerns and curiosities that are being brought forward, that we have it on a piece of paper and we can present it to the community, to whoever is not here today. Any questions on the process, on the topic, on anything? No? Okay, then maybe I'd like to invite you for a minute of silence before we start. Just become present and arrive in the space.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Elvira. Thank you also for the large number of people. We have filled the room. And let's address the research, what we will do. We will not go into many details, but when question will come, we can open certain parts which address certain concerns. We will go into the report of the research which has been there in along these 13, 14 years. And you should know also there are news of the day. Our chairman, Karen Singh, sent a message. The working committee, the foundation, the resident assembly are informed of this. After we can go into this, and it states his present position, which is open. And first, I will give you briefly an overview, then we will focus into the criteria which makes our bill eligible, at least according to this research. And then we will look into the concerns and benefits. This is not the first presentation. We have already done two or three presentations. You may remember some of you were there in the past few years ago. And question, genuine concerns have come up. So we have listed them. Maybe you have more. We will address all of them and looking for solution. Let's start. Unfortunately, the screen is not so clear. The concerns which have come up so far have been how to reconcile protection and development. The UNESCO role, will UNESCO interfere with the management of our bill? Will the visitors' presence increase? The master plan flexibility, one of the topics we like so much, let's address. And then the government role. Some people have expressed, Article 117 of the Convention say that the state party as to ensure that there is a proper management of a world heritage. So we will address that. And if you have others, we will continue. And after the two presentations, as Elvira said, we will go into question and answer. Then we will go into benefit shortly, how effectively it will protect the land, or is just a wish, or is just an imaginary thought, and how effectively it can give an help into the development. So, you see, I will not go into all this detail right now. I just give you the overview. You see the benefit, so you have an idea of what is there. Obviously, we will not go in such boring details, but here is the message of Dr. Karan Singh. After we can go through, we will address the question of encroachment. This I want just to underline. All this actually started many, many years ago, how to find tools to protect the land. And if we will have a stronger position long ago, maybe those in private development, and this is not complete. In the last one, we saw data a little bit old. We have more, unfortunately, more red spots, and it grows. So these all these exercises are start in function, first and foremost, of land protection. I will not elaborate now. So, this efficacy of a World Heritage Site, I just mentioned, if after one question will come, we can relate also to part of this, because this was the best consultancy we had 4 years ago, more or less, 4 or 5 years ago, from Mr. Sapphire. Maybe some of you know Mr. Sapphire, chief town planner of HATCO. HATCO financed the visitor center. And he was one of the main person in the country to promote and protect World Heritage Sites. So he said, he made a paper saying how effective will be, or is just an expectation. So, going back. So, we will come to the substance, the main substance. Then we will go into the flexibility of the galaxies concept, the protection of the immediate region or a larger region. And here we go. Here we go specifically into the aspect of the World Heritage Site quickly. 962 right now in India, 29 World Heritage Site. But what is remarkable is that the convention make the state parties, the governments of the world, responsible for a world heritage. So in a way, even if some may not care much, in a way, it's a responsibility of all these 190 countries. And as you know, there are 196 countries right now recognized by the United Nations. So here is the key point, a landmark, a stepping stone of a change, innovative approach of the UNESCO World Heritage Committee. And they call it global strategy. Look how it sounds. This new vision goes beyond the narrow definition of heritage and strive to recognize and protect sites that are outstanding demonstration of all of human coexistence with the land. Human coexistence with the land, as well as human interaction, cultural coexistence, spirituality, and creative expressions. I don't know your feeling, but for me it's almost designed for our film. Isn't it? And it's surprising because we all have an old image of UNESCO, but here, in this specific case, this opened the door to many, many projects, proposals, World Heritage sites, which apply in a completely different way. Not anymore the usual architecture, ancient heritage, but new society, new cities, new human grouping. And you will see there are even surprising symbols. We will go into this. So, in the search for World Heritage Site, we say, but what are the examples more close, even if they have their own authenticity, even if they have their own unique identity? Of course, none of those is similar to Auroville, but it counts. There are some parallel in substance. I will tell you this form. The search for unity between nature, humankind, and spirit. We will give you concrete example. Symbols. Ideal cities and societies or communities. And then the aspect of multiculturality and universality. These are values or parameters which make us close to this world, existing world heritage. Let's look quickly to the search for unity between nature, humankind, and spirit. Look, this is a surprising sight, and it's a marvelous rice field in Bali, but it's not World Heritage because of the beauty, it's because of the philosophy behind this place, which is based into what they call the three Hita Karam philosophy of unity between mankind, nature, and spirit. And this one express in matter a vision where the water has to be shared, the community interaction has to be there, otherwise it doesn't work. So what is recognized here is the spirit translated into an outstanding masterpiece. Another one, this one is Lushan National Park in China, is one of the spiritual center of Chinese civilizations, Buddhist, Taoist, Confucianism, where most eminent masters taught, blended effortlessly into a strikingly beautiful landscape which has inspired countless artists who have developed the aesthetic approach to nature found in Chinese culture. Again, it's not a national park which is protected, it's a culture, it's a spirit. And it's an incredible atmosphere. Even this picture translates something, isn't it? So, let's go, but this is a place, if some of you want to go to investigate, if all this on the site, well, the list is open, let's go to the symbols. Symbols, what does it mean? Look, symbol of moment, of dramatic moment of humanity, Gore, where all the slaves were going, terrible, terrible. People who have been there, they said it's terrifying. It's a symbol of human exploitation and a sanctuary of reconciliation. Then, today I tend to go back. Look at this, Bikini Atoll. It's a nuclear test site and you all know how it was the result of the Cold War. World Heritage, not because of the island, because a symbol of a tension of humanity which should be overcome by peace. Wow, this is not anymore the usual World Heritage we are used to, isn't it? And let me see if Nelson Mandela prison is there. In Robben Island, the Nelson Mandela prison, which is not certainly a sexy monument, it's World Heritage. Why? Because it is the triumph of spirit over oppression. Incredible. So, this aspect of symbol, I will not show all of them, there will be no time, but there are a lot and increasingly amounts of symbol. But these are symbol, let's say, look at this. The leftover from the Hiroshima bomb. Now it's become a peace memorial. Genbaku Dome. I hope my Japanese is okay. Huh? And the site of the most destructive force ever created by humankind. A symbol of hope for world peace. So, and here, this is beautiful. I happened to be there and really I was moved, because this you may have heard, on Mauritius Island, the Aparabasi Gate, it's where the labor who had 5 years contract after the slavery was coming from India, was coming from China, from Africa, and there are 16 steps which were changing their life at the immigration. Wow, even now when I remind, it was so charged, the place, because it was the foundation stone of a country, which Mauritius became a country in 68, like our bill. And if some of you knows the Mauritius Island, the people are proud of their origin. Instead of having confrontation, they met in this suffering. And this is world heritage, but it's a storeroom. It was just a place where they spend a few weeks there for medical checkup. This is really touching. And now we move to a fourth element, four parameters. The aspect of ideal cities, societies, and communities. Brasilia is one of the most close aspects, where there was a vision of a city which was really becoming the dynamic force, the concrete, tangible aspect of a country who wanted to move. Ariamani, where are you? She spoke a lot, she has a lot of material. And one of the, you did it in a presentation, one of the most touchy things was, for those 4 or 5 years, all the country, Ila is also there, all the country, please correct me, was up with fire and enthusiasm in building these cities. Am I correct? And it was a vision. And to do in the middle of a cross movement, am I correct? And what it has been done is that the plan has been protected, mean 3 zones, the core zone, another area, and the buffer zone, much larger. The buffer zone extends for almost 250 hectares, not even acres. So there is a protection for this. And here it is, a very beautiful moment. This is what? The cathedral?
Cathedral.
Cathedral. Okay, let's move quickly to another utopian project of Ledoux in France. It was based on a philosophy of enlightenment, where there was a lot of attention to the social worker condition. They were producing salt, but usually in very, very bad condition. And this was an explosion, which also we will see other example in England and elsewhere, where ideal factories were coming up. Now, many of those are world heritage, just factories, or mine place, but where there was an effort to have a social-oriented attention. And this is what has been realized, Arcansena in France. Quickly we go to something which is very beautiful, I suppose. Most of you have seen the movie Mission. Mission? With my hero, Robert De Niro. And please look at it, because it's fabulous. It's about this Jesuit experience between Argentina and Brazil. No, it's in the two. Sorry, I have checked the site, and this is an inter... No, this is a... Yeah. But it is an interstate world heritage. Yeah, three. And the beauty of this place is that they have tried to express fraternity in a community on Christian basis, but there was no money, it was really Christian pure approach. And it was completely destroyed by the church, by the Portuguese, they intervened. Let's not elaborate too much, because each place has a fantastic story, but it's a world heritage. Because that spirit of ideal community is recognized. So, let's go to this quickly, New Lanark in United Kingdom. It's an ideal village of industrial production, social housing and education facilities for the workers, created by Owen, the visionary humanist. And this is world heritage. Quickly, Pienza, small town, but the site of the first application of the Renaissance humanistic concept of urban design. And it has influenced the development and the concept of the planet ideal town in Italy and elsewhere. So, this is a very unique case of a planning together a campus in Mexico City, and it is really seen as a remarkable good coming together of planner, architects, artists, world heritage. Last, multicultural and universality. It's a multiculturality, Samarkand, you all know it was the crossroads of the Silk Road. And it's less today. In the past, it was a fantastic crossroad of civilization. And this is beautiful for those who have visited the atmosphere of Sarajevo, a meeting point of culture and nationalities. So, looking at all this, but this is just a juice, because in a presentation I cannot give the full list, what comes out? That you have seen there are parallel bridges with our opinion. And these bridges finally indicate that criteria 1, criteria 4, and criteria 6, out of the 10 criteria for to be eligible, Auroville can safely apply it. And this brings also those criteria one step ahead, because the main point here is to make the bridge and say, hey, here it's a world heritage of the future. And at the same time, we are inside the criteria. So we have one leg into their criteria, but at the same time, in the application, we will also promote the aspect of the inner aspect of Auroville, the DNA of Auroville, of transformation of consciousness, and of hoping, aspiring to the next step of evolution. So, these are the 10 selection criteria, but I will not read it. After, if you want to come back, we will go. And here I mentioned the DNA of Auroville, and I don't know why I related to this picture. Thank you. Did you make it within half an hour?
Yeah, even less.
But I wanted this in a few minutes for the next time.
He's going to take it back.
So, back to you. And it's up to you, Elvira, if you want question now, before Tuan goes into the concern and benefit.
Yuri has a question, maybe just on this. Do you want to ask it now?
The last slide with the 10 points, can we just look at it for...
Right, 10 selection criteria. Can you read it? So it's not much.
Maybe someone can read it.
You want me to read it out?
Yeah.
Okay, 10 selection criteria. 1. To represent a masterpiece of human creative genius. 2. To exhibit an important interchange of human values over a span of time or within a cultural area of the world, on developments in architecture or technology, monumental arts, town planning, or landscape design. I assume that what you highlighted yellow are the ones that apply to Auroville.
Right.
Yeah? 3. To bear a unique or at least exceptional testimony to a cultural tradition or to a civilization which is living or which has disappeared. 4. To be an outstanding example of a type of building, architectural or technological ensemble or landscape which illustrates A, significant stages in human history, to be an outstanding example of a traditional human settlement, land use or sea use, which is representative of a culture or cultures or human interaction with the environment, especially when it has become vulnerable under the impact of irreversible change.
Right. Shall I move?
Yeah. I mean, unless...
Is there any question on this part?
Continue. The third one is very good.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear you.
Keep going. Shall I go? Or shall I...
Let's finish it. To be directly or tangibly associated with events or living traditions, with ideas or with beliefs, with artistic and literary works of outstanding universal significance. The committee considers that this criterion should preferably be used in conjunction with other criterion. To contain superlative natural phenomena or areas of exceptional natural beauty and aesthetic importance. To be outstanding examples representing major stages of Earth history, including the record of life, significant ongoing geological processes in the development of landforms, or significant geomorphic or physiographic features. To be outstanding examples representing significant ongoing ecological and biological processes in the evolution and development of terrestrial, freshwater, coastal and marine ecosystems and communities of plants and animals. To contain the most important and significant natural habitats for in situ conservation of biological diversity, including those containing threatened species of outstanding universal value from the point of view of science or conservation.
Any question or suggestion? Which one is
the yellow ones?
No,
white
ones. Can I answer one second? In fact,
there is one more screen.
In fact, tell me that. In fact,
to at least 4 to 5, I believe, can come in. But the requirement is not to have many, many, many points. It's to have few, sometimes only one criteria, but strong one. So when we screen the 962 sites, curiously enough, certain which we thought, you see, in one, I think the three you mentioned, town planning is there. But when you go and see, so town planning of the past, this is not so close. So basically, after having also a lot of feedback, what we came to is criteria 1, 4, and 6 are the most close. But it's true that other criteria, 1 or 2, are also possible. That is the overall approach. So this work is better we go where we are clear, sure, and we have other example which sustain approximately.
Can you read out the 4 and 6?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Poor.
You better read that because it's
to represent a masterpiece of human creative genius. To be an outstanding example of a type of building, architectural or technological ensemble or landscape which illustrates a significant stage in human history. To be directly or tangibly associated with events or living traditions, with ideas or with beliefs, with artistic and literary works of outstanding universal significance.
You see, maybe another moment, maybe next meeting, I can give you the example connected with it, and you will be surprised. Because when you read the text, and when you see what they have approved, they were all like this. So,
thank you.
That's very
nice.
I hate microphone because it impedes my movement of the air.
But I just understood that you said you said that in the actual decision whether an application is approved or not, there is not a sitting down and counting on these criteria. No, it's just a help that you're highlighting these. It's just a help to understand why Oracle fits.
Yeah.
It's not that it's a point system that.
No, it's not so. It's much more
flexible. Then, but we can go into this next time if you want.
Why number four is not highlighted?
It's white. I made a mistake. I said yellow is highlighted, but actually it's the white one that is highlighted. So it's 1, 2.
Also you see, for example, take the angle. I know, I'm sure each of us has a reading of those texts because it's true, it's open. But for example, the most significant passage to the team who were in this to be an outstanding example of a type of building, architectural or technological ensemble or landscape. And here comes the core, which illustrate significant or unsignificant stages in human history. Here is the core, significant stages. When you go and see who are the number four, actually it comes world heritage which have been landmark, where I've marked a passage, Pienza, the first little town, with a small planning. It's not so significant, but it marked the beginning of town planning for the Renaissance. So I tell you, it's a fantastic work, but it's a really, to get the sense in how they approach. So I would advise, if this interests, that we go one step further. Next meeting, we will prepare a relation, because I have it ready, but I didn't want to do a lot of information right now. We can give example of around the world, which world heritage falls into this? Which one falls into this? How they, what is it, their mind frame to assess the validity?
Thanks. I'd like to actually move on now, and then maybe if you have more questions on this, we can still come back in the second half, and we can even turn on the computer again and go back if... Yeah, is that okay? Twan, are you ready?
Come and sit next to me, Twan.
Come. I'm going to present
you,
something.
You have work on this.
Which I have not seen before.
Yes. This one, which you saw before, I will say.
Okay, so first of all, I think we have to here put some, remember one person who has done a lot of work, who is not here today.
Can you hold the mic?
Her name is Martine.
Right.
And she was working in the town hall on doing all this research to check out what are the criteria and examples of those criteria. So very often she would be sitting with Luigi on one table working, and I would sometimes be asked something, and I played the role of the devil's advocate.
That's true.
Or the contrarian, and basically playing the role of questioning the whole thing. Because by questioning something that you want to do, you basically come to know more about it, and you see also what are the negatives or the risks or the concerns. So what we did was, I formulated some concerns that I had myself, but also concerns that I could imagine that some people may have, or some concerns that we have actually heard from people. So we go briefly through these concerns, and maybe also we will address briefly what would be the solution to address the concern. The first one was, how can you reconcile this paradox that on the one hand, heritage and protection means protecting the past, monuments, or even we have seen some examples of nature, and it is just the opposite of Orwell, which is about the future and about developing a township, and a township which keeps on evolving and growing. So how do we fit into any of those criteria as long as UNESCO would treat Auroville as a heritage. And heritage by definition means something of the past. So in some dialogues with people of UNESCO, formally and informally, the term World Heritage of the Future has come about. Because UNESCO itself is, of course, all the time looking for new ways of looking at heritage. And World Heritage of the Future, which is itself a paradox, the very sentence is a paradox, would basically imply, can you also protect not a physical existence of today, but can you protect an opportunity for tomorrow? Can you protect the vision in its broadest sense? And then it would be interesting to have a dialogue with UNESCO about all of them. If UNESCO would have said, or would say, okay, we take a photograph of Auroville as it is today, and we will make sure that it remains like that for the rest of times to come. And we also take a photograph of each Aurovillian, and they all have to stay the same. They can't become younger, older, same dress. Then, of course, we would not be interested. But that's not the idea. The idea is then to protect, basically, the vision of Auroville, the charter, the dream, and the plans for the town. And even when you talk about the plans of the town, you're not talking about detailed plans of the town, you're talking about the overall concept of the town, which is basically the concept of the four zones, the master plan, but at its concept level. So if that could indeed be the engagement with UNESCO, then it would be an interesting thing to do. And that's of course what the people who are going to interact with UNESCO have to present, that we don't want the past to be protected, not the present either, but we want to protect it in the future. The second one is UNESCO's role. People have asked the question, okay, we suppose tomorrow we get recognized, will then one UNESCO guy sit next to Mr. Barabaskar and tell us every day what we have to do, and we have to, the entry process includes now also an interview with the UNESCO person. Will he be present or not in our general meetings? And no, the UNESCO does actually only one thing, that is every so many years, they check whether the criteria by which you have been approved are still valid. So if Auroville were to be approved based on its vision, and in 5 years after approval we have completely deviated from the vision, it has become just a normal township with people who don't believe in anything coming here and living here, they might say, well, sorry. But if you are still pursuing the vision of Auroville, they would probably extend the recognition. The only remedy that UNESCO has, by the way, the only remedy, if they're not satisfied with the site, is to simply de-recognize it. Mm-hmm. UNESCO can never ask you to behave differently from what you were planning to do. They cannot ask you to do something different from what you were doing. They observe what you are doing and they say, yes, we keep you on the list or not. That's the only remedy. They don't have any administrative, operational, or even strategic influence. Visitors, when they increase, maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, there is one observation that the Matamundi itself is already attracting so many visitors. And whether we become recognized, whether Auroville becomes recognized as a World Heritage Site of the Future or not, we in any case will have to deal with visitors in a very intelligent manner, such that the visitors feel satisfied that they have learned something and seen something, and at the same time that the experiment of Auroville can continue. So it may increase or not, but my personal view is that in any case we have to deal with visitors by having centers at the periphery of Auroville. At the same time, we should also not make the other mistake, which sometimes I hear people talking as if we are going to become a gated community. That's not the idea. It's going to be a town. It's going to be a town with a lively exchange with the outside world, but a town for a certain purpose and a certain experiment. So you don't want this to become a tourist destination. But on the other extreme, you also can't make it a gated community.
And one in addition to this, I have here passages where UNESCO assists the sites. It has even, you can even go and see their website marked somewhere, but assist the site to have a sustainable educational visitors management plan. Because the same problem they have all over the world, that there is a lot of visitors, and how to do this in a proper way. Actually, in a way, this is promoting our preparation of well-designed, well-managed visitor center outside the city area. And one quickly, I want to show you that here, it is, no, no, one second, I'm getting close. No, I don't have it here. But basically, already with L'Avenir, we have started exploration to have visitor center in the National Highway 66, which means Pondi in Lebanon, one or two places, Promesse and in the back of the Brias Party, and also in the ECR, so that the impact is a little bit now reduced, and from there eventually in future we can even take them inside, like we did from Matri Mandir. The movement was pushed back to the visitor center. You may remember the hundreds of cars at the back. So, sorry, Pam, just to complete that, UNESCO 4C promotes sustainable visitors management, and this is a requirement.
So you can go back to the list. So the visitors will have to be definitely addressed, it can't be ignored. The next concern was master plan flexibility. So yeah. I'm coming back to the previous observation. Horrorville would do whatever it wants to do in any case. You're not going to change your behavior because UNESCO has put you on that list. So whatever Oroville decides in the next 20, 25 years about how it will implement the master plan, how flexible or how rigid, and in what phasing, and fast or slow, that all continues. It is not going to be changed because you become you get on that list. And that's not going to be also a criteria of getting on the list or not. In the case of Oroville, and I think this is the most important aspect of the whole story, the people are going to interact with UNESCO, which includes the government of India, because finally they will recommend, have to make it very, very clear to UNESCO that in what context we eventually would like to recognize. And that is a context where all these things like master plan implementation remain totally the decision of Oroville and have nothing to do with UNESCO. Government role. So the government of India is the one to recommend to UNESCO every year a list of potential sites. First you come on a tentative list, and then the tentative list is considered. So actually this means that even, I mean, because Elvira said we have to decide, ultimately we don't decide anything. I mean, theoretically speaking, even the government of India could today say, but not consulting any one of us, mm-hmm. we think Oroville is an interesting mm-hmm. site to be protected. Mm-hmm. They won't do that because of the relationship that we have through the foundation. But we can, of course, influence the process and we can recommend that how we would like it to be done. But the government of India can today, anywhere in India, mm-hmm. pick up a site and say, hey, this is an interesting site to be protected, whether the people who live there like it or not. Just that is theoretically the situation.
Yeah.
In the context of Oroville, because we are an autonomous body under the Ministry of HRD, it won't happen that way. There will be an engagement. But let's be clear who decides. We don't decide, we may recommend.
Yeah.
The other one is, the other concerns are that after you come on the list, and the UNESCO just a review every how many years? 3-4 years?
But one.
No, the evaluation. They do every
year. 6 years.
Every 6 years.
The government has to give a report.
So the government in India has to give a report on the status of that particular site. So I've already addressed that, that the worst case you are removed from the list. Now the benefits. The benefit in our context is basically that it adds one more layer of protection to our world. It is not the only layer of protection. It is not going to protect everything, because UNESCO recognition does not mean that you don't require development approvals anymore. You still have to do what everybody else has to do. But definitely a state government and a central government will look totally differently to a site which has got World Heritage status than any other site. it is treated with respect. It is treated with an attitude of, you know, don't allow this place to be eaten up by developers and speculators. So it gives an extra, and you have 190 witnesses. What is very interesting is that these other 189 countries, who are also part of this, are like witnesses. They witness this whole thing. And if, for example, the ambassador of one country meets another country over tea in some reception, he may ask, I hope that you're taking care of your sites very well. Yes, yes, and what about your sites? But there is a moral, you can say, a moral diplomatic pressure, mutually, to make sure that the sites all over the world are protected by, you can say, this informal army of 190 countries that manage that. So you get a sort of an international status. There was one comment I read somewhere, yes, but the United Nations is not going to run. Of course not. I mean, you remain definitely part of the Republic of India, you remain part of Tamil Nadu, but there is this body that observes whether this place is fulfilling those criteria, and every 6 years that is evaluated. And the last benefit, I think, or another benefit, or maybe more, is of course that with this status of being a World Heritage Center or site of the future, you also of course may get in touch with potential funding agencies who say, okay, if that is what the UNESCO feels about you, then we might be interested to sponsor some projects in Auroville, which could be of a cultural nature, educational nature, etc. So it gives you also, it creates a magnet that can attract not only financial resources, but also human resources. These are the main benefits, I think, of being on that list. I think that's more or less it.
Yeah, I think
it's a question.
Are we allowed to have questions?
Yeah.
I'm just checking the UNESCO.
When
you're allowed to do anything.
Okay, so you're allowed.
We can either have it now or later. Afternoon.
So let's take one question now and the other questions after tea. Is that a fair deal? Yes, one question now, please.
Is a government or a country can recommend a site which is not in its boundaries? For example.
No, you can only recognize that you can only recommend a site of your own country. Maybe that there is a possibility that, I don't know, that you can support the recommendation. So if, for example, Bangladesh has a nice site, members of this 190 can say, yes, we also think it is a nice site. But you cannot, India cannot say this nice site and Bangladesh will talk about this.
Correct.
And Bangladesh will
be correct, correct.
It's a common sense, right?
Yeah, no. It happened to me in Paris when India told me go and see other ambassador if they want to support. Going to see Musitelli, the French ambassador, he said, of course, we will be ready to support and create a team of support. But Uriel, there is another aspect. It's like what we mentioned before, there are interstate world heritage. It's obvious, sometimes, like the Jesuit mission touches several countries, and that is also an interesting aspect, because the management becomes double or triple. Where three governments have to create a body who manage this world heritage. Shall we have team?
Yes.
And then after all the questions.
10 minutes. Yeah. You can take 10 minutes for tea?
Yeah.
Come back here.